Hello, everybody. This is Hollywood Matt Connolly with the double biceps. It is in the contract. It's a legal requirement every single time we appear on camera with the co-pilot, co-founder, co-host Dave Stockbridge, winner of the Dave Stockbridge of the Year Award for 47 years in a row. Lost it a couple of times to Vincent Ronaldo, the famed hairdresser in the early 90s, and also the actor Vince Colosimo. He also stole one as well, but he did get the Hair Machine of the Year Award, so... It was worth it. Really. It was worth it. We have two fantastic arm wrestlers joining us today. Some of the best in the country, definitely both around the top 10. We've got Mario Tambarkas all the way from the Sydney Spartans Club. Took out our real cup event.
Pulled the chocolates.
With a beer in the other hand, you looked like you were... I think I've literally got footage of you drinking a beer while holding somebody that was giving...
that was fun.
And of course we've got Andy Buskowski, who otherwise known as Andy Handsome. Used to be known, but one of the best in Australia in arm wrestling, coming from the Melbourne the club you're in there, the Silverbacks. Is that the name of the club that you're at?
Yeah, so we train at House of Pain, but we come under Silverbacks or Victorian arm wrestling.
Exactly. No, thank you for Celine for sending us the shirt. I am trying to get a shirt from every club. So far I've got my club and this one.
It's a slow walk around the country.
Oh fuck, that's on the list now.
so now you gentlemen have been around arm wrestling for some time now, and over the last couple or so years during COVID, there's not been a lot of high level competition. Obviously, athletes, it's very difficult. It's been very difficult for many to travel, and opportunities for people to test their mettle against the best have been few and far between. So you guys have put together a new concept for arm wrestling, and we're hoping that you might be able to share a little bit about what you guys are up to today.
Maz, I'll let you take this first.
Well, as you just said, there's been a bit of a void when it comes to high-level matches within Australia, mind you, within. So we decided to create a concept called Garage Wars, which is just a super match series or a four-way round robin series. All it is just a facility to facilitate matches, high-level matches within Australia, with the Australian competitors. So we're lucky to have... Oh, sorry, Dave, go for it.
And where did the idea come from? Was it just a matter of, well, there's no competitions going on, so we'll just put something on ourselves? Is that as basic as it was?
That's it. Yep. Yeah. It's like, we just want to have some matches. So me and Andy decided, let's call it Garage Wars and let's just make it happen.
Great name, by the way, guys. Garage Wars. Love it.
Yeah.
Like Art Wars from Wish.
Like Muzz was saying, you know, in the absence of so many, you know, comps through COVID, we were just getting to the stage where we're like, okay, we want to see this match up. We don't necessarily think the current rankings and AF reflect who's actually top 10, top 15. So, you know, why not just start kickstarting and accelerating some of those big matches again to really put people at ease as to who's where. So we were just really excited to be able to put on something that people would actually show interest in and hopefully look to compete in themselves. So, yeah.
And what's the response been from the athletes?
Yeah, I mean... So the first Garage Wars we did was quite small, and we did struggle to get many interstaters in. You know, the original lineup that we had was looking to be great, but unfortunately, border restrictions through COVID at the time prevented quite a few athletes from coming down. But obviously, you know, having that first comp in place, there was some really good feedback, and pushing forward to now when we're preparing for Garage Wars 2, we've just had so much more interest this time around, which is really good to see that everyone loved what they saw in the first series, and we've taken constructive criticism on, and we're hoping to make things bigger and better, and obviously, you know, fill in and overcome some of the challenges which we had in the first series.
So what were a few of those criticisms or some of the feedback that you received that you thought, if we fine-tune here, we'll have a better product that people will love watching?
Yeah. So for the most part, people were really happy. The only real criticism that they gave was, you know, moving forward, can we start doing, can we start having location changes, whether it be in different states and whatnot, you know, giving us some tips as to how we can improve the actual production quality on the day. And just become more, you know, more structured overall. So obviously there's always going to be kinks to work through when you're starting out with something, which, you know, we're not exactly professionals in event organizement. But yeah, obviously we've listened to what we've heard so far and we're always open to feedback. So as long as we're doing better from the last, I think we can't go wrong.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So you've taken it all on board and now you're creating a better product out of that feedback that you received. And in when you've at that first card that you had, what were some of the matchups that you're really looking forward to that didn't quite happen in the end because of border closures and COVID and all of that stuff?
One win in particular for me was Andy and Adam Laura. That couldn't happen because of COVID. So
We were also hoping to get Bobby Wrigley against Robbie Capone last time, but WA borders were still closed, partially closed at the time. There was Gabriel from Queensland who wanted to come down, but he couldn't due to some work commitments. I believe Fatali was meant to come last time, but he was unable to.
That's right.
And obviously we did actually, one thing we really wanted was the four-way round robin with the lightweights, which didn't happen, but we're pretty happy that that's happening this time around.
Very cool. And so explain to the viewers the format that you're running with, because it sounds like a bit of a hybrid model that you've got there that sounds exciting to watch, but step us through it.
Well, I was thinking, because we still haven't made it concrete yet, so I was thinking best of three, for example, Josh versus Jules, best of three, winner moves on. And then whoever wins out of the Taryn and Sam match versus Josh next round. And vice versa. Until
a tournament in a way.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And I'm happy to announce that the opening match is going to be Andrew Lee versus Tim Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's going to be the match of the night, I think. So the firework from both those guys.
Yeah. Is really gonna spark things up and get some energy into the crowd, and we know how those two can be, and they're really gonna go tit for tat as to bringing their psychotic nature. I'm really excited, and I think everyone else is gonna be excited.
I think of everyone in the country that competes in arm wrestling, that they're probably the top two that get the most fired up before a match.
High volume.
It's just going to be. I think actually the last time that they faced, Tim was messing around in the setup so much that he pissed off Andrew Lee to the point where he just said, "Forget it," and walked away.
Which would be very disappointing for all people watching. Of course, if it ends like that. So maybe you've got to work out some kind of rule to stop, you know, Tim pissing around too much. Maybe just the. So
yeah, we're still in the process of nulling out some finer detail, but we are going to run some hybrid rules that basically, will give competitors some freedom, but it's also going to stop them from, like you said, screwing around too much. So the automatic referees group will be implemented to some degree.
And so, I mean, what are some of those little bugbears that you see in modern competition at the moment that make the sport unwatchable for you guys?
Rectified
in your format.
Well, like when you look at, you know, the varying styles out there, if we look at WAF, it's very strict, but unfortunately it doesn't grab viewers' attention because it's quite long and exhausting. And because it's so strict, sometimes matches are just won on elbows or other fails. So we want to eliminate that as much as we can to give an exciting match, an entertaining match, and obviously allow for the winner, the real winner, to come out on top. But at the same time, we don't want to, for example, go through WOW rules where we're seeing good matches, but we're also seeing some questionable calls or fouls just going missed. And we don't want people cracking it that, oh, this person won, you know, even though they elbow fouled and, you know. So we want to make it as fair as possible, but also give people the chance to, you know, to win fairly. So, yeah, there's going to be some sort of hybrid setup similar to what's been done at Vic State titles in the past, as well as other state comps. But, yeah, it's just finding that happy medium, really, where everyone's happy.
Well, we've had this discussion on the podcast previously as well around, you know, it, with arm wrestling at the moment, it's very much the Wild West and the rules aren't set in stone. And there's this wonderful opportunity to iterate and refine rules or combine rule sets in order to make the sport, one, more watchable, two, enjoyable for the athletes, and three, easier for the organisers.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yeah. Any rule set that allows me to win, that's what we'll go with.
That's what we're going with. Yep.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, unfortunately you can't please everyone, but we're going to do our best to make sure all of our competitors are happy. That way there's no excuses at the end. There's no what ifs, there's no buts, that sort of thing. So yeah, we'll get there, but yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, production for the first Garage Wars was really well done. You had multiple cameras going around. I think there was a pen camera at some point that was floating through and getting shots of the crowd. It was definitely a big step up from what you usually see for your, you know, the local arm wrestling events. So it looks like you've really taken that on board and tried to make it as professional as you possibly can. Obviously moving forwards for this one that's coming up, you'll be repeating that, trying to, you know, put on a really professional package and a really good experience for the viewer.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that was Mario's idea to get that, the gimbal camera. And he was wearing it the whole day. So he did really well with that. And just like, you know, like you said, capturing those different angles in conjunction with the, you know, the front on camera. And it really just gave more diversity in how we were able to capture certain moments. So yeah, it was really interesting. And going back just quickly, where we had some constructive feedback, there was some feedback on the contrast between cameras. So we want to basically improve and resolve that in going into the next one. But yeah, I think there's a few things we also want to bring to the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys have a professional production background at all? Or so you guys are coming from it, from We Love Arm Wrestling, and we're just going to get out some cameras and see what. So you guys are experimenting as you're going along as much as anything as well.
Pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Great work, guys. And fantastic to see you guys persisting. And wonderful to see you providing opportunities for athletes at a time when there's not so much going on in the arm wrestling world.
Yeah, for sure.
And as arm wrestlers yourself, do you find that frustrating that nobody else is really taking the lead there and doing what you guys are doing, that it is somewhat left up to you guys as athletes in order to put on a show so that other arm wrestlers can test their mettle and importantly, have something to watch if they can't be there in person themselves?
Personally, myself, no. No, I don't mind it at all. I like taking that sort of responsibility on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love arm wrestling as well, so it's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
you know. I think it's great.
I think the only maybe frustration would be when you do step into the, you know, event organizer world where you want to make matches happen, you very quickly realize people don't play ball. People have work commitments. People have other commitments, and actually getting interstate matches to happen is quite a hard task, especially once you factor in people's family, work life, finances, things like that. So any participation, we're really grateful for, and we you know, we really reiterate to anyone who's competing or has competed in our little series that A, we're very grateful that you are interested and you're making all this possible for us, and B, you're providing context to the world of this is where the level of arm wrestling is at here, because ideally we just want to showcase Australian arm wrestling to overseas markets. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So pretty you much. Guys have seen it as a terrific opportunity to explore a whole different aspect to yourselves by becoming event organisers and putting something together like this.
Yeah. I mean, we're like, you know, like you asked us, you know, we're very inexperienced relative to, you know, a lot of models out there, but we're just taking it as it comes. whenever we have an idea, we'll go back and forth. We'll do a bit of research. We'll ask for some feedback from people. And obviously, along the way, we're going to get things wrong. So you'll see that you should see us slowly improving over time as we become more experienced. But for the most part, we're literally just trying a lot of things for the first time and experimenting. So, yeah.
It is good. I mean, the fact that you've stepped up and given it a go and put something together, and then it's like, hey, this is the ideas we've got. We want to do some multiple cameras. We've got some athletes that are local that we're going to film, and we're going to get some matches happening. And you did. You put it all together. You put it up, and it looks great. I mean, the video that you've put out for the first Garage Wars, it was entertaining. High level quality in terms of your production level. And then it's like, okay, these are the things we want to do to improve. But it's always funny for people that want to get it perfect before they've even started. And it's like, well, you're not going to know what you don't know until you start. And start doing something and then see how it goes and fix it as you go and get better and better and better. It's like, going back to a first episode of a podcast or something like that and hearing it.
The pilot of Friends.
Yeah, that's right.
For instance,
exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I wouldn't have found that that niche, that intimacy, that level of camaraderie or what they needed to fix unless they had spent that time doing it. So you can't get to season 10 of Friends, the level that they're at there in the pilot episode.
Yeah. Exactly.
And following that, you look at some of the other leagues and productions out there, whether it's East versus West, King of the Table, and you see a lot of criticism heading their way for, certain things. And when you look at the level they're at, the funding, the investments going into those events, like, obviously we're no match for big events like that. However, just goes to show you that even at that level, there's still a lot of kinks to be worked out for them too. So we're not fussed when someone comes to us and says, that wasn't too good, we didn't like that, or we got this wrong. At least we're making something happen. So that's the only thing we're worried about. And when you get messages from people, and when I go to training, I get messages and people telling me, can't wait for Garage Wars, can't wait for Garage Wars, can't wait to see this match. And that for me is all I care about.
Like, it's a good motivator.
Exactly. People are excited. So, it's not often that you can have an idea and make it practical and implement it, and then people actually get on board outside of your circle of friends or your family and whatnot. So that's really good to see.
That's awesome. And have you got your card settled as yet, or most of your card settled for the next Garage Wars?
So it's been updated in the last few days. So it's basically set in stone. We are open to more matches only through interstate means. So basically anyone that wants a match inside of Victoria has to get a match with an interstate. There's not going to be any more additions from Victorian only arm wrestlers. So, our card is, I believe, 14 matches plus the four-way. So it's quite a big card.
It's going to be a long day.
Can you quickly run through the card? Just which matches? Do you have it there?
Yep. Give us two seconds.
All right.
Were there a few that you guys were just keen to see yourselves and thought, we really want to see this guy against this guy? Have you got a few favorites of your own?
Yeah, well, Andy and Adam, that's going to happen. So I'm really keen on that. I'm really keen on Taryn and Sam.
Yeah.
I want to see what Taryn can do now, because he's definitely gotten stronger since last time they pulled.
But I think Sam has as well. Yeah. This is the dilemma,
you can't help it.
But since those guys met and it was so even last time, and if it wasn't for the Burnett hook in play, there's some conjecture over how that would have all gone down on the day as well. So you've got young players like Hamza we were talking about just before we started recording.
He's an unknown, which makes it so much fucking better.
And getting stronger by the day as well.
Amazing
young athletes in the country now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think Andy's got a list in front of him.
Yeah, I'll run it through you. So in no particular order, so we've got Peter or Pistol Pete from Sydney, who's going against Juwan Beckett, left arm.
What's Peter's last name?
It's, how do you pronounce it?
It's Wyszewska.
Wyszewska.
What is it?
Wyszewska. Yeah. Okay. And then we've got Jack Lear, who's Andrew Lee's son, versus Alex Alfred Horsa from, I believe, the Peninsula Bulldogs. We've got Love Preet from Melbourne versus Mark Denmead. We've got Jordan Browning from Melbourne versus Hamza, who obviously resides within Adelaide. Mm. Pistol Pete having a right-hand match with Chris Jackson from Victoria. Robbie Capone having a left-arm match with Sean Brown. Leo Marcus, who now resides in Melbourne, who's formerly from...
Gold Coast,
yeah.
Or Krakens.
Krakens, yeah. So he's having a match with Nick Hendry on the left. Nick Hendry is also having a match with Rhett on the right, who Rhett actually just competed in the, I believe, the French...
French Nationals.
Yeah, the Nationals. And came third, I believe, in the overalls. So,
Well, he won his class, didn't he? Left and right.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Wow.
And then Andrew Lee from House of Pain, founder of House of Pain. He's going up against yours truly, Tim Graham, which is just going to be fireworks.
Yeah. The night right there.
They're going to set the bar, honestly, if their first match of the night.
They are. They really are. Then it's myself against Lachlan Carpenter from Sydney on the left and myself against Adam Lohrer on the right. And then the last two matches are Brett Coutts versus Mario left and Brett Coutts versus Harley on the right. No.
No. Well, no.
The condition was last time we faced was right arm straps because he has an injury on his wrist. So I said, that's no problem.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah. Awesome.
That won't be the case this time. But yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing where Brett is right now versus where Muzz is right now. So the last time they had a match, Brett came out on top. However, I do believe Muzz has made some tremendous strides since then, especially on the left. So I'm really, really curious to see what's going to happen.
I'm keen too. I want to see how Fatale goes with Brett on the right. I mean, Fatale's killing it on the right as well. He won his class in...
Over the top.
In Over the Top.
Yeah.
And he won it really well too.
I mean, I would be able to give the most data on Brett and Fatale because I've competed against them both in the last 4 months.
Exactly.
To me, and with no bias at all, to me, Brett feels a bit stronger. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I took losses to both of them, so it's anything can happen. So I'm really excited for it regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it difficult for you at Over the Top? I think you were literally the day before you were sick in bed or something and then, you know, you were pale.
Yeah. So the story was I finished my prep for Over the Top. I tapered off and a week out I got food poisoning. So I had gastro for 2 weeks, and then 3 days before I ended up in hospital. And then I told Mars, I'm like, look, I'm going to come. I want to come, but I'm not competing. Like I was just in bed. Yeah, feeling horrible.
I just watched.
And then, I managed to get up there. I was just on some, you know, all these different drugs just to kind of keep me feeling conscious, okay, and then the comp started, and then everyone's like, "What are you gonna do? Are you gonna compete?" And I'm like, oh, "I don't know. I'm feeling like dog shit." And then, I thought at the end of the day, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. There might not ever be another Over the Top. So, sick or not, I'm gonna compete. Went in with no expectations, which meant that I came in with no pressure. I didn't care about winning or losing. I just wanted to get out there and just have some fun on the day and make something of it. And then I surprised myself with how I did do in the end. But yeah, so obviously this time around for Garage Rolls, I'm going to be doing everything I can to be coming in healthy. You know,
I reckon go have some seafood. It sounds like it's probably your thing.
All
like
you can eat.
Make sure you're shooting.
All you can eat wings.
It was hot wings. What up there?
Hot wings.
Yeah. I'd never had hot wings before.
I'll
just try them and then. I'd never been so sick in my life. And then I caught the flu while I was up there. I caught the flu off someone. So when I got home, I was bedridden for another week. And then when I recovered from that, I literally recovered from that after a week. And then Celine got COVID and gave me COVID. And then I was in you know, bed for another week. So it was just a 4 to 5 weeks of just, I lost
got hit by a car.
Yeah. I lost a lot of weight. I reckon I was almost 10 kilos down. Yeah. Yeah, because I was barely eating. But yeah. That was a fun time regardless, but yeah, anyway.
which match was it where you're holding for about a minute?
it may have been Fatale.
Yeah, I think it was. And because I looked over, there's so many matches happening all at once. There's all tables going on. And I saw Andy in this position, and he was looking up in pain, like, hold it. crazy. And then I had to look at this, and I looked back about 30 seconds later, and you were still. He's got to do it. You got to do it. You got to turn it around. But it ended up.
In that match.
Yeah, it was an amazing match. It was a good effort.
Yeah. I mean, in that match, I wasn't, because I had a lot of brain fog, I just mentally wasn't very focused. And at that time, I was actually focusing on not passing out. Because once the match finished, I walked off. And then I can't remember who I sat next down to, but I was just kind of doing this one. And I think Fatale came down and was like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, I'll go get you some water. And I'm just like trying not to pass out. And I'm like, dude, you just won your match. Go and celebrate.
Yeah, there were so many amazing matches that happened, and because there were so many things happening at once, it's like I need to go back and rewatch stuff, because it was like, oh, I want to see that, but then that is like, oh, I want to see that as well, and then, oh, okay, they've slipped, so I'm good at that, and then you've missed the pin, and it was like, it's like everyone who was anybody in the Southern Hemisphere was there, and the entire team from Uzbekistan came along,
Uzbekistan,
yeah, exactly, yeah, that's right, and they did, don't they? They presented Phil with a ring, like a diamond ring, with the arms
from the president of Uzbekistan.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the best bit. They gave him a rug, right? Oh, and it was rolled up. Awesome. He presented him with this rug. Great. No worries. Oh, thank you. That's lovely. Yeah, man. Unrolls the rug, and it's a picture of Phil.
That's amazing.
It was really well done. It was like a handcrafted.
Yeah. That would have taken a long time. It took a
step. Yeah, they handmade that. That's the thing.
But it was really well done. High level stuff. And he was blown away. He didn't even know what to say.
He's never had a rug. That's amazing.
I don't know what to say.
This is what I'd be expecting from Taryn when Taryn comes for you guys. Like just a nice rug with both your faces on it. So
it's the Garage Wars legacy rug.
If we don't wins, have it,
gets their faces woven onto it.
If we don't have it, then I'm just going to send him straight back to Adelaide.
You no match for Taryn.
Because I was right next to him the first time he unrolled it, and he was just in disbelief. Like,
it's me on the rug.
What do you say to that?
You say thank you.
Yeah.
I'll put this up.
It was amazing. All those guys were fantastic. The guy that competed, I think actually only one of them ended up competing.
Olamov.
No, there was a few of them that competed. They just weren't at Olamov's level.
Yeah, Olamov was insane. He was so fast.
He was ridiculous.
I was refereeing the heavyweights, and he competed in that. And I was the down ref. And you know how you give the thumbs up, like everything's cool, thumbs up. And it would be like, ready, go. And he would have pinned before I even got my thumb down. I was like, pinned before like the ready, go was finished. And he would pin.
The thumb retraction.
Yeah. The table. And I was still standing with my thumb up like this. I was like, the match is done. God.
I imagine their training system would be somewhat similar to the Kazakhs and how they train.
It's identical.
Is it? Yeah.
It's almost identical. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just a certain Central Asian style of
training. Exactly. They train like a shoulder heavy committed side pressure hit off the go.
Yeah.
Right. And that could either fall into a top row or a hook. So it's pretty diverse in its nature, that move. Yeah. So the idea is to pin them, take the shortest path to the pin pad. And that is near the peg.
Yeah.
So that's the idea of that. I believe that's the idea of that system. It was hard to talk to the president of Uzbekistan arm wrestling because he could barely speak English.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the idea I got from it. Yeah.
Incredible. Where did they get that idea from? That's the method.
I think that they've just been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Where do they get the rug?
Where do they get the rugs from? Yeah, that's the other question. So technique.
That's what we want to know.
But, do you reckon making the rugs a part of their training? Like, really? A lot of precision and dexterity that goes into their hands. No, I'm kidding.
Finger strengthening. You see 10 people at home with like a needle and thread.
It's like wax on, wax off, but with arm wrestling. With rug making.
Before you come to the table, you must make at least 100 rugs. Then you can stand with hand on peg. Hey, different cultures. Where to judge? So Garage Wars coming up. You've got some great talent coming from all over the country. What's the response been from the athletes as you've reached out to them and said, "Hey, do you want a gig? We're gonna put on an event."
Well, for me, it's everyone just basically said, "Let me see if I can make it."
Yeah.
Yeah,
no convincing, really nothing. It's just they want to be there if they can be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Once you put aside the buffer period of people getting confirmation, getting work off, all that sort of stuff, they're just over the moon to report back to us by saying, "Well, you know, lock me in. I can come. Thanks for picking me, considering me." Which it's just a lot of people are just really, really happy. And grateful, so yeah.
Mm. And as you're seeking to put together these matchups, there isn't a formal ranking system in Australia at all to really rely upon. So is it just your feel of having been out there and having travelled around and having spent some time watching some of these matches as to who would be a good fit against who and what are the matchups that get you excited as well?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like we're obviously... Muzz and I are talking about who we believe is going to be good matchups. So some of the bigger high-level matches. And then beyond that, it's, okay, let's start finding and scouting some new talent. Who are the people that have only been arm wrestling for a year or 2 years who haven't really had a chance to compete but would actually be really fitted to X or Y or Z? So, it's really a case of we want to give people who haven't been in the sport for as long a chance to compete and show us what they're made of in conjunction with obviously allowing some of the higher level athletes to compete against each other in the absence of other comps. So, and just because we have other comps on doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see the matches that we want. So we just want to, fill that void. Yeah.
Mm. I know the guys from SA that you've invited along were incredibly pumped about getting an invitation and really excited and sort of seeing it as Adelaide, the comp we've got here is, I guess you'd say it's relatively new. I mean, Tim's been running it for 8 years, but in terms of the quality of athlete compared to some of the interstate guys with the Sydney and Victorian, like the Melbourne clubs, who've been around for quite a while with some really heavy hitters in there. So for them to get an opportunity, it's like, oh wow, like I'm being recognized as like I'm an arm wrestler now. Like it's just sort of solidified that in a way. It was just like I think when that little notification hit their inbox, it was one of the like proudest moments, So it was really cool.
Yeah, really, really cool. Yeah, and here in South Australia, because of the Matt Connolly ranking system, most people know who's who in the zoo. And when you're competing against the same people all the time and training with them, I guess you get a fair sense. And everybody's itching to test themselves to see, after COVID, has all the training in the shed been worthwhile? And that's the other thing why I really love the idea of the Garage Wars, because arm wrestling for the last couple of years has had to kind of return to the sheds, and you've got guys that are just kind of training in isolation and trying to get stronger, not really understanding whether or not it's translating onto the table. And maybe it is with the guys that they might train with within their specific circle, but reaching out to the outside world and seeing how you compete against one of the top few guys in the country in your weight category is a wonderful opportunity for these athletes.
For sure.
Yeah, also the matchup itself, as well as a good motivator. You know, if that's someone they want to really test themselves against.
Yeah. The Taron and Sam matchup is one I'm super excited to watch as well.
Taron's been gunning for Sam for at least ever since the last match, I think. So
I know. Yeah.
I think it's great when you've got a couple of younger athletes that are on a very similar trajectory, and it's lovely to see, you know, as an enthusiast of the sport, these guys clash over a period of time and see where they do fit against each other, and also to see the motivation that, you know, I'm sure if there wasn't a Sam Burnett, Taron Broad would not be training as hard in the gym.
That's right.
And would not be at training as regularly. And, you know, I know Sam's been competing quite broadly and had and achieved some wonderful success over the last 12 months as well. But, you know, by the same token, I'm sure he's had it in the back of his mind that one day I'm going to have to face Taron once again. And you guys have been the ones to facilitate it and bring it all together. So congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And we get to watch it. Importantly, right. We get the benefit of being able to watch it.
That's right. Yeah. And a big thank you to yourself for sustaining some sponsorship to help.
Absolutely.
Victoria. We're very, very grateful.
I'm sure that they're hugely appreciative of the ability to be able to go and compete. So thank you to Real Estate Agents Group and Dave Stockbridge, who
has 100%.
Tickets for some people and helped out in lots of many other ways.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, Muzz, have you shown him the design yet of the shirts?
Is it Dave's face?
That's going to be on the rug.
It's on the rug.
Muzz and I have been slaving away knitting for weeks.
You've got to have a rug rolled up and then like slowly reveal, and it's going to be your face.
If you can't do a rug, a jumper would be fine. Like as long as it's
hand woven. Okay,
we'll see what we can
do. We'll manage.
I want my face on it. So anyway,
you were revealing. What were you saying? You have a picture or something, or there's a.
I've sent a concept to Dave.
Oh yes, it's very very cool.
Ooh,
yeah.
Might but it's still in the works. It's still in the works. We've got a graphic designer helping us with a logo. So for the front. So we'll see how that goes.
Sort of look like this, I think.
Something like that, yeah. Like a.
Oh, that's great. But when I heard about the idea and I heard the enthusiasm of the athletes at this end, it was like, well, you know, this is a fantastic event. Certainly, we're supporting. And you know, I think whenever young entrepreneurs get together and do something great, then if I've got any way of being of some assistance, I'm always happy to be. So, well done to you guys. You inspired me to get involved, and so congratulations.
Well, we're incredibly appreciative. Dave.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Really good to have you on board as well. So we're really excited to see what the future brings as well, as far as future comps and collaboration. So, yeah, really, really pumped.
Awesome. Could get expensive. Great.
Hook up a vacuum pump to your wallet and
straight to Denver in Australia.
Garage Wars 3 is going to be in Dubai, so
top of the that hotel, Burj Khalifa or whatever.
That's the one. Yeah, just on the roof, on the tennis court. Yeah. Yes. <that's the> an arm wrestling table. Mario and Andy.
How do people watch the event?
How do people watch? Yeah. It's like you read my mind.
Wow.
And I know. So how do people tune in to Cash Garage Wars?
So in the first installment, we had a live stream in conjunction with later edited and uploaded footage on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And funnily enough, we've actually had a few people ask us, you know, would you consider doing a pay-per-view, which is definitely a future consideration. But for this one, we're thinking of just
editing and uploading,
recording, editing and uploading, and putting more effort into more of a refined sort of end product as opposed to a live stream. But yeah, we're really curious to see what people have to say and what they would actually prefer as well. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's on, is there a Garage Wars channel specifically, or is it on both?
No, we're just running it through the Andy and Mario Show channel at the moment. But yeah, just because obviously we'd be able to get more traffic through that alone than a Garage
Starting Wars a brand new channel. Yeah.
But alternative. Sorry, just quickly, we do have the Garage Wars Facebook event. Mm-hmm. So if you type in on Facebook Garage Wars 2.0, it'll come up. Click interested, like, going, that sort of thing. And that way you can stay up to date as to what's happening. Or again, alternatively, just follow our channel for updates. But basically, we're posting it on all of our socials. So Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. So it's pretty easy to stay in the loop as long as you're following one of our channels. Yeah.
Mm. So it's easy to just go to the Andy Mario Show. Everything, the handle, get onto there, and you're not going to skip a beat. You're going to know exactly when and where and how.
Yeah.
Would there be the ability for people to attend in person?
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Excellent. Yep. So stay tuned. Tickets on sale soon.
I think you have to listen to all of the episodes of the Andy and Mario podcast before you get the link to the video to come up.
It's very cryptic.
You
have to watch, like, 8,000 hours of footage, which isn't much. Just take a few weeks off work.
Just pump it all out in one hit.
And for people unfamiliar with your channel and what you guys are doing with the Andy and Mario Show, maybe just fill us all in.
Oh, we're just so our primary focus was to focus on Australian arm wrestling.
It's the focus on Australian arm wrestling.
Yep. And we're facilitating matches. First, we started just talking about Australian arm wrestling rankings, future, like, new matches, super matches, and it sort of evolved.
Yeah.
So it's going to continue to evolve, and then see where it goes from here on out, basically.
Do you guys see a time in the future where this is what you do full time?
I mean, we're definitely open to that, and we hope something of that comes. But obviously, until we reach that point, we're obviously, following our usual careers. But yeah, hopefully one day we're doing this full time and can obviously bring bigger, better competitions, events. Anything that pertains to arm wrestling, we can facilitate. So,
I think it is definitely a good idea to record and then edit afterwards, then doing the live stream. That's why with our super matches, we do every Sunday. I've always recorded and I have considered, maybe we'll do a live stream, and people say, where can we see the match live? And it's like, I'm not going to put it up live because there is so much sort of in between match time where you're setting up, or the minute break between rounds, and unless you've got somebody that's there commentating and that they're good at it and you can hear properly and trying to entertain somebody who might be watching live, it's really tricky. So it's much easier to go back and just cut all the stuff that's not important and then highlight what you need to get right and then present it in the best possible light.
And when you are post-editing and putting the content together for release, is Jake calling the commentary as he's done recently? I noticed he's emceed for you previously. So have you got Jake back on board? It helps you facilitate that a whole lot more, doesn't it? And gives time to spend on the right events and emphasis to be given on the correct matches that are obviously going to cause the greatest interest. So I think it's a great move. In as much as we'd all love to see it live, the reality is it might be a better product to see post-produced.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same principles Arm Wars is using as well.
Yeah.
It's the exact same principle. Mm. And it works.
I don't know how they managed to keep those matches secret, like the results for so long. This day and age, it was like a couple of months that they've with Neil Pickup's Iron House stuff, and it was before they actually did the premiere and you found out who won, and I was like, how has this secret not got out? It's insane.
Waiting for Jordan's matches to come out was just painful, but it was
What do you think of the Iron House series?
Oh, I love it. It's great. It's something new. And I'm actually surprised that it's not more popular. And even just Neil Pickup's channel in particular, I really think he should have a much larger following and fan base by now, considering how much he's done for the sport, what he's doing and where he's come from. He was one of the first guys out there. You see him, dabbling a lot of things. He's done a lot of commentary in the past outside of arm wrestling, whether it's strongman and things like that. So yeah, I think what he's doing and where he's trying to take Arm Wars is really big. And anyone that's actually sat down and spoken to me about it has had nothing but good things to say. And yeah, so I really respect what Neil's doing and where it's going. Yeah.
Mm. So we can't let a podcast go about arm wrestling with arm wrestlers without talking about the biggest event in arm wrestling history, which is about to take place, and to get your takes and predictions, gentlemen. Mario, what are your thoughts on Devin versus Levan?
I think it's just going to go the way everyone else expects it to go. 6-0 Levan. I don't think there's going to be any fucking around.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Andy?
It's really hard not to back Levan. You know, you put your heart aside, which, you know, most people are saying, I really want Devin to win, but realistically, Levan's most likely going to. Best case scenario for Devin, it's a 4-3, but it's not very likely. Again, I'd have to go somewhere closer to what Muzz said, either a 6-0, a 5-1 sort of deal. But I'm really hoping Devin just shocks the world and redefines what peak arm wrestling actually is.
Just holds him centre first round. Fuck.
It'd be like Conor McGregor knocking out Mayweather, wouldn't it? It'll have people talking for a generation.
It's funny, Devin's actually the betting favourite at the moment. The tides have turned in public opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been promoting that match for months now, and he's sort of taken charge in that regard.
Yeah,
so I can see why.
Well, you think about, you know, the lead up to the match. Levan's been very quiet, which means most of the world's been focusing in on what Devin's had to say, how he's progressed, and what he's what his training is looking like. And then all of a sudden, when Levan comes out into the spotlight, he's looking jacked, he's looking massive, and then everyone starts saying, oh my God, Levan's looking huge. Devin,
yeah, shouldn't Devin's put that money on screwed. Devin. No.
So, you know, sometimes just, you know.
You're too late to get a break. Yeah, hello, Steak Kings.
Yeah. So sometimes even just being active and getting, you know, and tracking your progress is what gives people, you know, the notion of who they're going to back. But then, you know, like I said, a lot of people weren't backing Levan because he was so quiet. But then once you actually see what the end product is of Levan, is just a monster who looks bigger, stronger than ever. You know, his bicep measurements were 61 centimeters, which is the biggest his arms have ever measured.
That's a cartoon.
That's pretty much.
Yeah. And another thing, you know, everyone says, oh, you know, Devin's the king when it comes to psychological warfare. Like, Levan is, I think we can all agree that Levan's taken this whole ordeal personally. And he's decided to say, you know what, I'm not going to bother with words. I'm going to let my actions speak. So he's obviously just put his head down and trained. So we have no idea what Levan's trainings actually look like. We can only speculate. But we're going to see the best version of Levan and the best version of Devin. But what makes me think Levan's going to win is, well, great, Devin's reached a new peak. And, you know, let's just say Levan's always here and Devin's been here and Devin's done this massive, massive, you know, cycle or whatever he's on, whatever he's doing, and he's gotten close to Levan. It's like, hang on, Levan's also progressing. So, you know.
What happens if Levan does win 6-0? Is that it for Levan? Do you think he'll retire? I mean, he's beaten everybody. What's in his future if that does happen?
Maybe a Vitaly Lalaten rematch or a Dmitry Siliev. Maybe if Dennis came back and wanted to do a match, unlikely. Apart from that, Levan could choose to retire and be crowned as the GOAT. Not the GOAT, but, you know, the strongest.
The strongest of all time. Yeah.
He'd be 32 years old, and to be at that point already in, you know, the world heavyweight arm wrestling.
What I think is really exciting is he could actually take 10 years off and still come back and prove himself once again. So arm wrestling is just one of those sports. And as we were talking about earlier, with the likes of Young Hamza and other talent around the country, you never know who's coming up. The sport's exploding across the world. You don't know what talent's all of a sudden finding its way into the sport. And we know how quickly these young players can improve, and you know, very, very quickly they go from being at a club level to being at an international level and sharing the table with the greatest. So it's such an exciting time to be around the sport, and that's why I think, you know, the timing of Garage Wars is absolutely spectacular. It's coming at a time when the sport needs more top level competition. It needs an event that that spreads the gospel and gives the athletes something to really look forward to. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. And importantly, thanks so much for putting on such a fantastic event. And for all of the viewers out there that didn't get the message earlier, you want to get to Garage Wars, and to do that, you want to go to the Andy and Mario show. Head over to that on YouTube, all the handles. Make sure that you subscribe, because this update still to come. Maybe a couple of other sneaky matchups making their way onto the card. but importantly, you'll get all of the news, so you'll know exactly when it's happening. So maybe you don't know, the grudge match of the ages. So, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on the Daily Combat Podcast. And we look forward to watching Garage Wars and when it all comes out very, very soon.
It was a pleasure to be here, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. Thank you very much,
gentlemen. We'll look forward to